It's time for the Giz Whiz with Mad's maddest writer, Dick DiBartolo. This is episode 2034, recorded Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. It wonks! On this episode of the Giz Whiz, Diggity has a what the heck is it? Also, a way to pry into things? Plus, I show off my new theme for the month, thanks to the patrons, and we have some viewer videos, and we get to learn a little bit about our audience. All next on the Giz Whiz!
It's the Sigmund Show with Dickie D and OMG chat on your PC. It's time for the Giz Whiz because gadgets are his business. They've got a gizmo sickness, geek disease,
under pathology,
rows and rows of USBs, growing LEDs. Get ready for the Giz Whiz now.
Now, and here he is, the lead technician only here on Thursdays, Diggity. How you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. And you?
Doing good. Doing very good.
Has spring sprung? Oh, the spring is always down there, right?
It kind of, yeah. Spring happened like, well, it's still wet and we got like waves of cold. But yeah, and spring kind of just goes straight into summer. I think we're in summer already over here.
Okay.
The weather currently, 85 degrees, sunny. It's been that mostly every day, and so like it's just, it feels like summer weather because it's so warm.
Oh okay, New York just won't warm up. Well, it's 68 right now, but I think by the weekend we might see 70. I'm tired of it. I want to see more.
The first time we had good weather, I was enjoying the sun big time. I'm pretty sure I've worked up a good, I would show you my tan line if it wasn't so but yeah, so like I think that I've been getting a tan with the amount of sun.
Are you back out running then?
I have started running again. I started on and off, but I've done three runs in a row, which has been nice. I can now get back to doing a 5k, which is about a tiny bit over 3 miles without stopping. That's been good. Very slowly. If you are a runner, I'm running at like 11 minutes a mile, which is really slow, but I can do it without stopping. So now I'm going to keep working on that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. The only running I ever did was this afternoon after a UPS truck. It's one of those things, the Murphy's Law thing. I've been in all day, and I thought, I'm just going to walk down and see the 444 train go by. And I come home, and there's a sign on the door, "Sorry we missed you, UPS."
Oh, my gosh.
We have a new UPS guy who doesn't even see on my bell, it says, "If 1R does not answer, ring 2R. And tomorrow I'm not going to be here, but the truck is at the corner.
so you really did run after it.
I have never, and there was a lady walking down this way, and she just jumped aside and went like, go.
I know, I've been there. I understand.
Yes, I caught the guy, and the guy said, all right, I'll pull over. It's a heavy box. Is that okay? I said, yes.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Anyway.
That's great. Now let's jump into it.
Okay. We're going to start with a what the heck is it?
I'm excited about this one.
What the heck is it?
Mm-hmm.
One contestant in the studio is Dennis Wunderlin. This little guy stands by himself. Chat room, Chad.
It looks like a torpedo.
Or a robot.
A peppermill.
Maybe.
That is pretty wrong.
Is it like for crafts? Like making some type of flower?
Company we like, Dream Farm.
It's from
that makes weird usable stuff. This is called the Hullipit. Okay. The Hullipit is for.
They made that just for the Hullipit.
That's very good.
So strawberries, and what we're going to do, you know, it almost looks like something like a Christmas ornament, doesn't it? With all red and blue.
It looks like it has a cap.
We're going to watch like 30 seconds of their video. So stick it in the street. It looks like
it kind of looks scary. Like when you have
a bit, doesn't it? You can push.
I don't think it helps that like strawberries are blood colored. You know, it's like
no, it doesn't.
Gory.
And pull. Okay. We're gonna do that. Okay. I bought some Driscoll strawberries.
Yeah, look at the napkin
King Kong strawberries.
They're juicing themselves.
Look at the size of the foliage on the top. Got it. You know, I'll take a smaller one because I don't know if they're going to fit in this little machine. So there's a little lock unlock. So you push this and it unlocks the machine. Wow, it unlocks the machine.
So it's like reverse sprung.
Yes.
We did no rehearsal, friends. We just are going to put this in.
Oh, it has a little stopper. That's kind of neat, like how to know where to put it.
You know what? That's not bad. I don't think I can get... I'm going to do this mega one.
Try it has a forest on top.
No, it can't get the strawberry in, but I wonder if it can...
Hey!
It did it.
Better than I could do.
I'll do one
with a spoon.
All right.
Yeah,
you sort of have to push it in a bit. Yep, and turn. You know,
great success, I
think.
Neat.
Dennis said, "You sure you don't want to practice before?" No.
We need to make the podcast called "No Instructions You."
Exactly. You can knock pits out of olives and out of cherries.
Instructions not included.
And it was. $13, $12.99. Just has 9 reviews. I got a press release on it, so I guess it's new. And I got 4.5 out of 5 stars. And people say, you know, how do you get that stuff for free? I mean, rather than deal with a PR person, it's easier to buy it.
It
that
is.
That way, if you want to say terrible things about it, you can. But with this one, it worked great. Hull-a-pit.
Hull-a-pit. I think it really goes hardcore, if you think about it. Likes to core those.
Yeah, well, it also says it can take the core of a pineapple out.
There's no way. A pineapple's way too big.
But the pineapple's way too big?
I think a pineapple's way too big for this thing to work that way.
I don't know. That's what it seems. It says it can also hull a tomato and remove a pineapple eye.
Oh, a pineapple eye. Okay.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say,
you're right.
It would take a million years to get through there. That's funny. What was the first one?
A tomato.
A tomato. Oh, I also thought it'd be pretty good on peppers, too, if you want to try to get the... You could sometimes get the
stem
seeds,
thing out.
Peppers out of there. I like it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, did you feel like it was easy to spring? Like, was that an easy mechanism? It's kind of awkward. Is it good?
Yeah,
okay, good.
I really thought, well, this is going to be, if I can't even do this after seeing that little video. But and then look at you can fill the things with strawberries.
Oh, yeah. With a mascarpone or something. Yeah. What is that?
Oh, wow.
Crazy. Oh, and there was a chocolate dipped on the other. I was thinking, you take off the green stuff, stick a skewer on it, and then you can easily chocolate dip them or fondue chocolate them. I mean, I guess that's the point. That's why you would core a strawberry. No, that was great. That's really cool.
A fun project, which is this.
This is my Lenovo from 2017, and I had it hooked up to my regular computer system through one of these, the IO gear that lets you hook up 2 computers to 1 monitor, all right? And then I thought, you know what? I haven't gotten anything off this in like 5 years, so why do I have it hooked up? I will just recycle it, but take the hard drive out and hook it up as an auxiliary drive. All right. So believe it or not, I got it out of there. All right. What worries me is there were two drives in there. There's a little
solid state
drive.
Yeah.
All right. And then the 1 terabyte spinning drive. All right. So I'm hoping that this will still be read by my other computer. And in order to do that, I went on Amazon. Hard drive docking station.
Oh, yeah. I love these things.
And I had one once, and all you did was plug something into the front of
this. I have that same one. I might still have it.
But then you saw the whole drive. It was not... This is supposed to be... Oh, you know what I like to say already? It's like a drive enclosure so that you can leave it out on your desk. So there's a plug, this cable, which I didn't unbox or didn't unbag, but I plugged the unit in, and this will be what hooks up to the computer. And you know, I have a Chromebook, so I'm going to hook it up to the Chromebook, but I have an idea. It may work better on a Windows computer, but we'll see. The thing is, it just says, just slide it in, all right? So I'm not even looking at the book. I'm just looking at what the guy in the video
take the instructions
did. He said, you just lay it down. It doesn't matter the height of it or the size of it.
Make sure the SATA cable
slide it down.
Port.
And it will fit in 2.5 inch or 3.5 inch. Just push and push. And, well, you know, it did lock in. Is this possible? Is this possible that this is a working thing? And then this,
what is that connector called that I'm holding
here?
That's a USB, I think it's a USB A or no, C, USB, no, USB B, USB B, but it's a,
USB B.
But it's the USB 3 version of the USB B.
3.2 USB on this Chromebook. And this says USB 3.2 here. This is lit. You know, on a Windows machine, it'll just automatically come up.
So I don't know anything much about Chromebooks other than they're easy to use.
Files. Yeah,
where even is the files? Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't even know.
And...
Oh, I see a Samsung thing.
Shows a Samsung drive. This is Western Digital. Holy cow.
There they are.
We now have a disk M. Oh, you know what, chat room? It is reading this disk. Look at this. This is from 2018. This is from 2017. I guess I'm the GizWiz.
There you go. Yeah, go into
documents.
Yeah, there you go.
ABC News. All right. Oh, this is good. Match game. Chat room. I am. I'm impressed. All right. So thank you, Sabrent.
Sabrent. We love Sabrent.
Sabrent. Yeah. No, I've had things before, but like I said, it was just a cable. It worked, but you had this bare hard drive.
Yeah. With all the electronics just kind of sitting there.
Yeah.
I've had that exact same thing. I think I've had some, I'd probably not this brand, but one extremely similar. Yeah, that SATA drive, you know, that SATA port thing, which is on the end of hard drives, is extremely universal. So it's pretty easy to plug into it. I've also had these type of toaster style where you like...
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
That,
you
where
put
you
a
drop
bunch
it.
Of them in.
Yeah, I've had those.
A spinning hard drive can be standing up?
Yeah. You stick it in just like a toaster.
Okay.
And what's nice about those is that electronic board that's kind of near the front of the drive does get hidden by the toaster part. So you still have to see the metal, but you don't see that green PCB board.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is kind of nice. And then those here, just to take a moment to look at them, you can use the smaller drives in that smaller slot. So,
okay.
You put your little laptop or SSDs in there, and then your spinny hard drives, that flap will pop down, and we'll take the big one.
Well, and they're relatively inexpensive. That one you're showing is $30. Mine was $25.
Yeah, exactly. And you may be able to, this is, you know, just one that
very
popped up.
Very nicely done.
So you may be
very
able to
nicely
find
it. Done.
But yeah, these are great. The only type of drive that they really won't do is the new M.2 drives. But most people don't have the if your drive is directly on your motherboard, then you know that you have that type of drive. So it looks completely different. I don't even know how people call these. I've read this stuff online, and so I'm not even sure if I'm calling these things right, but. These little things.
Yeah,
they look like memory, but they're hard drives. And some of the, like, you could buy a little dock like that instead.
Oh my God, you can!
Look at that, they make them.
That is right.
They make little docks for those drives too. So yeah, the one you showed will cover most people's drives. The M.2 drives are, or M2 drives, I forget what they're called. They are. Much newer, so you don't run into them as often. You might run into them on a laptop, but on a hard drive, on a desktop, most likely, unless you're on a gaming computer.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I like it.
Perfect. All right, now one more gadget that I needed to do what I did in this video.
You saw the video about taking the hard drive out of my old Lenovo. And I'm going to show you two more things that I needed. One was, I bought a Strabido.
Love the name.
Opening toolkit, because I was concerned about getting the side of the computer open. So this is the kit. And something I'm reading on the back of the box, I never knew about, right? It says, check which kit you have, because if you're doing delicate parts, use the plastic kit, because the plastic will break before you damage whatever it is you're trying to get into. So I never heard of such a thing. I mean, Did it start out that they're so cheaply made they started breaking, and some intelligent guy said, oh, they break because we don't want you to damage your equipment. However, before I knew that, I tried to get the little USB hub that I no longer need. And this little USB hub was glued under here. And so I used this, which didn't break, but this did break, and then it broke in such a way that this came out and stabbed me.
Oh no, Dickie D!
So I healed rather fast because this.
Oh
was
my
last
gosh,
night.
We bleed for this show, folks.
So if you buy one of these kits, and I'm going to have Chad go to this company's website because they make tons of them, and I know a lot of people buy the iFixit. I want to show you one other thing that I thought was kind of. Fun about getting the case off. Okay, this is the computer that I took the hard drive out of. I had one of those pry tools, and there were two screws back here which I took out. I tried prying this off, and then I went on. I typed in how to get the into the computer, the Lenovo, and I put the model in. And a video came up, and it said how to open any computer case. I watched it. Nothing about what I needed.
Yeah.
Except at the very end,
really?
He said, go to the manufacturer's website because some of them have very tricky ways to open their computers.
I've had some Alienwares and some Dells.
There,
I had like weird buttons
tiny
and
little printing.
Or like slide rule things. You got
to
slide a thing.
Off, you go back to here. You
there you go,
this over to there.
Exactly.
You push this.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I
It's like an Indiana Jones style, like,
I spent an hour trying to pry that other side off.
Yeah. They thought, how convenient. We'll add a button and a slide thing to keep it locked, and then you'll never see it. Yeah, I bet the button's integrated in with the top to make it blind in, too, isn't it?
Yes. Lock again.
Yeah.
Five of those things.
So thank you, Lenovo.
Yep.
Mo is picking this up and is going to refresh it for a use of his own. And we'll have Chad go to find out about those pry kits.
Those pry kits. That's funny. So I have seen on the pry kits, I watched a YouTuber or something pull open something. And he mentioned the plastic as a way to make sure you don't scratch your metal stuff, too. Is he said the plastic is soft enough that you'll break the tool before you break your thing. And that was
so
kind of...
it's a real thing.
Yeah, it was kind of like you want to break the tool, not the gadget. So if you're trying to pry something and the tool kind of bends or morphs, it's using really soft plastic, they're like, okay, now we need to go to a stronger tool, that type of thing. No
that's
idea. I mean, I guess that's probably the inspiration they were going for is with that.
But again, the stuff is cheap. That kit was $750.
Yeah.
And then they do deluxe kits with every kind of screwdriver. I didn't even realize my kit had tweezers because it has that little plug over it.
Oh, yeah.
Then for $15.
You get all that plus a little screwdriver.
Yes.
Wow, yeah. And then for even more, for $27, you get basically the iFixit toolkit just rebranded.
I had an
iFixit, and it had almost all of it. I mean, it's hard to tell. There's so many pieces, you know, to tell what was in what and versus another.
And some of those fittings, aren't they called Torx, like T-O-R-X?
Yeah, there's a Torx set, and then there's probably a security Torx set, which has the middle part hollowed out. And then they'll probably be triangle. Here, I could probably click in and maybe get a better view. Nope, not any better than what I had. But yeah, there's triangle bits in there and the weird, like, square bits. There's, like, every type of thing. That would help get you into, like, a Mac laptop that has, like, the security torque screws and stuff like that.
Yeah. Crispy Bacon said the star bits are torque.
Yeah. Here, Crispy Bacon spelled it for me, so I can Google it now. I remember it was spelled with an X. There you go. There it is.
Okay.
The Torx set, which is that star.
Oh, very good. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
Interesting.
There's like a math about how it works. And then there is a... I was hoping maybe there is a... No. Tamper-resistant variants. That's what I was talking about. Oh, there they are. Look at these tamper-resistant variants. I can't see a single tamper-resistant variant. Anyway, yeah, that's the Torx screws.
Perfect.
With that, let's get a bit crappy.
No, you don't need it. But you might want it at Chad's Crappy Corner. Get it.
Okie dokie. We asked the patrons, and they had an answer for us. The options that we gave our loyal patrons who support us every single episode, thank you to the patrons, we gave them Five Below / Pop Shelf gadgets. So those are Five Below. Pop Shelf is like a knockoff of Five Below. So those gadgets.
Oh, okay.
Rainy Day Gadgets, this was actually suggested by Rachel, so thank you, Rachel, for suggesting that. So that is gadgets to deal with a rainy day in the rain, or like gadgets to kill time, you know, on a rainy day.
Oh, I see, okay.
And then the last one is clearance gadgets. So once again, we're going in and looking for the deals, stuff that's not being sold as much. So what do you think the patrons liked?
Boy, you know what? I would not say clearance, only because if you got a great buy on it, by the time the show airs, they'll all be gone.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Or it's like a discontinued product at that point. Yeah.
Yes. 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 Exactly. And it'd be hard to find.
Right.
But I don't know if anybody's going to use that logic. Rainy day, they might think it's, I don't know, I'm going with Five Below.
Five Below. I was shocked at the result.
Oh, no.
Shocked.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So many people wanted Rainy Day Gadgets.
No.
Rainy Day Gadgets stole the poll. It almost 70% of folks wanted Rainy Day Gadgets. 10% wanted Five Below. I was shocked. I thought that would be a fun.
Well, maybe we've shown too many of them.
Maybe. Yeah, they're like,
maybe
let's.
They said, we know it's at Five Below. We've seen all their inventory.
We're there every week. We don't need you to cover it. So yeah, so Rainy Day Gadgets.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, April showers.
Oh,
green,
yes.
May flowers.
Oh,
so that was,
yes, it's perfect.
Yes, exactly.
It's perfect.
Exactly. Okay. So honestly, I just lost the video. I am going to go find the video here. Let's see if I have it over here. So I'll tell you, the Rainy Day Gadgets, I took the inspiration of actual rain. Here we go.
Okay.
I have the video now, and so we can play it. Here we go.
Hey, Diggity. So as you know, the theme for this month is Rainy Day Gadgets. So for our first gadget, the Write As Rain All Weather Tough. This is a notebook that you should be able to write in the rain. Take a look at the back of the packaging. It does say for best results, use a pencil or an all-weather pen. That's it for the packaging. The book is pretty simple. Just some, like, it has like almost like graph paper / lined paper inside. You have a little start page, end page. This is like a plastic material. You have a ruler on the back and on the inside for centimeters. And it also gives you kind of a descriptor of everything.
This is on the back.
Specifically what is good to write on and what not. So when it's wet or dry, you can use all the pencils and stuff. When it's dry, you could use like permanent markers, but gel pens and highlighters won't work. And it even says what it can go through rain, but this is crazy. Oil and grease, mud, and even the laundry, this thing can go through.
What?
So that's pretty crazy. In order to test it out, it obviously needs to get wet. So let's go test it out. Okay, so we are outdoors. First to test it, I got a mechanical pencil. So we can just write in my name. Wow, my handwriting is really bad. There we go. And then we'll just say, you know, let's make a little giz whiz. There we go. Now, will the paper turn to mush when it gets all wet? Will this just fall off? Let's find out.
Oh. Oh.
Not only do we bleed, we get drenched.
I'm impressed. Oh, I just marked on the page with my other hand. It says that it works while it's wet. One second, I gotta switch hands here. Losing my grip. There we go. It works.
Oh, wow.
Back to you guys.
That's pretty good.
So I remember we covered another type of this type of thing, a paper that could deal with moisture. That paper I specifically remember was made out of stone. This is not the same company. This is made out of, it's a wood-based paper, so you can recycle it just like normal. I will say after recording that and getting back, it's just coated. So it's normal wood-based paper that's been coated. And I could kind of tell that actually, because as I got home, the papers did become a lot more wrinkled than like I would expect. So it still looks like the paper has been wet, you know,
yes.
You know, it kind of still looks a little bit waterlogged. Which I kind of wasn't expecting it to turn so kind of wavy and waterlogged. But, hey, it did work. It dried out just fine, and it was able to get wet, and I was able to write on it completely wet. So, yeah, there you go. It's really hard to see the pattern on the page, but there are...
it wonks.
It wonks.
Someone in the chat room said it wonks.
It wonks. It wonks. There's also like a grid behind it you can barely see. So you get like easily ruled lines and then like a little bit of a grid as well. That's kind of cool. So there you go. The write as rain, R-I-T.
Oh, that's so clever, actually, the name.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, get out of here, stay in touch. I can't leave the stay in touch. Oh, I had another pop-up. So you can kind of see that I guess they sell pins as well. But they have, no, I want the paper. Give me the paper. Oh my gosh. Give me a writing thing. Let me click it. Here we go. No, not that. Planners. There you go. That one's $15. You can kind of see it there. That is the right as rain. With that, let's move into Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
They're geeky and they're goofy. Together they are loopy. When gadgets pass away, he takes them out to play in Dick's Gadget Warehouse.
On. Well, last week we said, will someone new please send us a video? And Andy Egizi, E-G-I-Z-I, and Mary Young have answered the call. This is our first video, a little rough, but I pieced it together and I emailed back and said, guys, that is Gizwiz worthy. And he wrote back and said, oh my God, what a thing to brag about. I did something Gizwiz worthy. here's their video.
Hi, Dick and Chad. This is Andy and Mary from Illinois. We've never gone to CES before, but we like to watch videos from the people who do. Woo-hoo. This year we saw a gadget and we thought it looked interesting enough to check out. So we found it on Kickstarter and it just arrived this week. It's a unique form factor for a gadget like this. I think once you see the front, you'll probably figure out what it is.
I did not.
Oh, it looks like a camera. Looks like a...
As you can see, it's a tiny projector.
Whoa!
The hinges give you a lot of flexibility in how you can position it, which lets you watch the projector without needing to prop it up on something.
Perfect for hotel rooms.
It has a 5,000 milliamp hour battery, which they say will give you an hour and a half of 720p video. There is no input port, so it's designed to mirror your smartphone. That has its good and downsides. On the good side, it means you can connect with Bluetooth, so you don't need to have a Wi-Fi network in order to use it. But it also means that you are limited in what you can project. Mm-hmm. My iPhone won't mirror DRM video sources, so it works just fine with YouTube, but it doesn't work at all for streaming services like Netflix or Disney Plus.
Oh, no.
There is a workaround, though, if you buy their wireless HDMI dongle for your computer. That hasn't arrived yet, so I haven't tried it. It responds to your phone's accelerometer, so you can watch in portrait or landscape mode. Given how little it is, it sounds pretty good, or at least as good as an old transistor radio. You can pair it with an external Bluetooth speaker if you wish. We don't have a lot of blank walls in our house to test the projection size, so here we are in a space above our front door. There are three windows just off to the side here, but you can see it still projects a reasonably bright image. It has a 100 lumen bulb. The autofocus supports video up to 80 inches, so this is a pretty good size image if that's not clear. Anyway, we love the show. I've been listening since you and Leo did it every day. Keep up the good work because we really need your help to figure out what we should buy on Amazon. Bye.
That is great. I think that is
That's a great video. Cool. A great video.
I agree. I kind of wish that it had some type of like wire, like maybe even a USB-C in, and then you could use like a HDMI to C converter or something like that. That'd be really cool.
You know,
really
he said
cool.
He paid a little money and he's getting the wireless HDMI dongle.
Yeah.
So, oh, it was $400.
Yeah, it's not as cheap as I expected it. But I mean, it's itty bitty. The other, hotel rooms would be cool, but really, the place that this would be cool is camping. Is if you were in a tent.
Oh, yes.
And you don't already have a screen. Like, the hotel room comes with a screen, you know? Like, you already kind of have one there.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. You'd have your phone for content. You wouldn't need to lug around, like, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
That's really, really, really cool.
People in the tent could be watching a movie. Would anybody walking by the tent be able to watch the movie on the outside?
Probably, yeah. Now, most tents have two liners, so there's an inner liner, and then you typically throw the rain fly over it. So maybe if you point it at the ceiling, the rain fly would cover it. But also, if you're camping remote enough, you may not have neighbors, so it may not be an issue.
I just see. And our creator is in chat. And
oh, yeah.
I get this a compliment. You're the first person ever to say my name correctly. Well, this is the first time ever I have done the first name, the last name correctly. So thank you. This is good.
Ye Gizzy One in the chat room. It's honestly a hard username to say. The username's harder to say than the name. It's on Kickstarter. It got the Innovations Award in 2025. I think I may have walked past this.
You probably did, because that was the show you were at.
Yeah.
And also, it's kind of amazing that Andy bought this, and it said delivery in April, and he got it in April.
Yeah.
We're normally used to Kickstarter things maybe a year late or...
Exactly.
So that was great. That was great.
I can't believe that it's about the same size as a phone, but can project something. I don't feel like it's going to be very long until I guess there have been a few phones with Pico projectors in them, but so really, really neat stuff. I like it. That is the RZen, is how you say that brand. RZen, or that is just the brand. I don't know if that's how you say it. I'll be honest. Really, really cool stuff.
That is neat.
Yeah.
So, Andy and Mary, you'll get it. I'm going to wait 2 weeks because I'll have June Med, and we'll be able to send that to you. And if someone else would like to see how easy that was, or at least it was easy for us to show it. We love videos from people who've never made a video before, like Andy and Mary did horizontal format. Just make sure we can hear your voice and see the gadget. And that was a perfect video. So now you do it. 1 to 3 minutes long. Put it up on YouTube. You can click unlisted when you upload it. And that way only people with the URL will be able to see it. And send that to us, the URL. mail@gizwiz.tv. mail@gizwiz.tv.
Do it now. Well, with that, let's move on to... Actually, right before we move on to the letter, someone in the chat room, I've forgotten who asked if I could erase off the pages. And
that's interesting.
I actually kind of had some difficulty erasing some stuff, which I didn't think that would be quite an issue. This plus up here, so let's make a little dot. I didn't press too hard, kind of naturally pressed. Let's see if we can erase it. Okay. Let me try a little.
Oh.
Yeah. It erases. It erases okay. It doesn't erase great, but this could also be the pencil's fault.
Oh, that's good.
It's still kind of there, but honestly, probably the pencil's fault. So yeah, it erases. Okay, with that, let's move on to the letter. Now. Okay, folks, we had some technical difficulties, but Dickie D is still with us. How you doing, Dickie D?
I'm doing good, and even though we're in year 21 of the Gizwiz Show, for the final segment, the email of the week, we are returning to me being on the phone and you having a still picture of me because my computer is still trying to reboot.
Yes.
Vicky P, who's a regular in chat, sent me an email, and we're learning a lot from this email. She said, I taught blind and vision impaired children in Memphis City schools for 45 years.
Whoa.
And back in the day, we had something considered advanced technology. Now, she sent a photo. You could put that photo on.
Yeah, it looks like these two, honestly, I can't even tell what they, well, oh, there's a workstation, okay. Too. They're just big blue boxes.
Okay, what we are looking at is the Kurzweil reading machine. The first machine to convert printed text into synthetic speech.
No way. This is basically exactly what we call nowadays OCR. You know, you can take...
That's exactly how it worked. It took OCR technology, converted the text in a digital form, then a text-to-speech synthesizer converted the digital text into speech.
Wow.
So
wow.
This was an amazing thing. And is the photo still up?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to find the... It's a long letter here. Okay. If you look at the photograph, the brain is on the left. The scanner is in the center.
I think I can see a page on the scanner, too.
Yes, and the controls and speaker are on the right. And I on Amazon, Google, it said that the Kurzweil reading machine was the size of a small washing machine.
I mean, I would agree. There's a chair in this photo, and it is wider than the chair, deeper than the chair. I mean, this thing is really big. That speaker is also, like, you know, you could place the time period based off of that speaker design even. That's crazy.
Yeah. So Vicky's still in chat.
She is.
Is it possible that you have any idea of what the school paid for this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Vicky says you can see an open book in the middle box, which I think is true. And hopefully we'll wait for the chat delay for Vicky to answer.
Okay.
I mean, I would imagine a car. You know, the price has got to be in that type of range.
Chrissy Bacon just said the same thing. Probably more than a car cost back in those days.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, that is incredible. And, I mean, the thing is I remember learning, you know, I went through a special education system where we had specialized equipment. Vicky says it was probably about $5,000. And I mean, I had to use like, you know, a book on tape type of equipment where it was really on tape, you know, and you had a specialized player just for the school. And this just reminds me so much of that, is just incredible specialized technology for education.
And Chrissy Bacon said $5,000 back then is about 40,000 today. And Spaceman says, well, you know, your phone can pretty much do that.
Really well. Apple has a really great scanning feature that I use literally all the time to take a photo of something. You hit a button in the corner and it'll show all the text that is selectable. And then you can select it. And I do that for phone numbers. I do that for names of restaurants. You know me, I never want to type ever, because I can't. So I use it for that, and it's been great. Yeah, absolutely. That is incredible.
Amazing.
Well, thank you so much for the letter. That is amazing, Vicky. That is a piece of technology straight out of history. So thank you. Also, a huge thanks to our patrons over at patreon.com/gizwiz. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show every single episode. You guys are amazing. If you like the Gizwiz, please consider giving back at patreon.com/gizwiz. You can also head to our website, gizwiz.tv. There you can find a link to our Patreon page just at the top of the website there. You also find a tiny little link to PayPal. It's also where you can watch a show live just about every Thursday, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern time. So head on over there and the website will just update with the live stream. Make sure you join the chat room and chat along with the amazing community that we have, because they are really some fantastic people. Our website will have all the past episodes there as well. Head on over to gizwiz.biz, where you can see articles about all of the gadgets that Dickie D and I have covered on the show. If you ever needing a link back to Amazon or a description of a gadget, perfect place to find it. While you're there, play What the Heck Is It? This is the game show online that has... this is the gadget. This is the entire gadget. You got to guess what that is. And I can tell this is a solar sundial for Martians. The Martian sundial, we still need to get to Mars to test to see if it works. But I'm pretty sure that's a Martian sundial. I forgot that your image was so crazy of your diggity. If you think you know what this is, get a guess in gizwiz.biz. 6 Mad Magazines for correct answers, 12 Mad Magazines for funny, clever, or hilarious answers. So get a guess in over gizwiz.biz. That about wraps it up for our show. We'll see you next week.
I'll be here.